I have found over the years God deals with us in so many different diverse ways. Sometimes he gives us messages and things that I don't always understand. And I've found that if I'm just faithful to do what he tells me to do, I don't have to understand it. But my desire is to be faithful to do the will of the Lord in all things. The word today is really about examination, but I kind of want to title it maybe personal responsibility or personal reliability, however how you want to look at this. Personal responsibility. I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my words. I'm responsible for how God deals with me. And I want to be reliable and faithful to the Lord to be and do what God would have me to do and be. It seems like that is such a struggle for man to be able to do that. And I have a little suspicion here, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek. I believe the flesh has a lot to do with it. This old flesh really beats us up pretty bad sometimes. I'd like for us to get a character here, kind of witness to the burden of our heart. It's found in the book of Judges. You all know about him. You've heard of him many times. You know the story. But I just want to read the introduction and how that things came about for this man's life. You know, when Jesus was born, God sent an angel, talked to Joseph and Mary, explained to them what was going on. Well, you know, he did it back in the old time too, in the Old Testament days. God sent an angel to this couple. It says in 13 of Judges in verse 2, there was a certain man of Zoran, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him, in other words, it was frightening to her. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. You see, God, in his wisdom, he knew the beginning to the end of Samson, didn't he? Until the day of his death, he spoke of. But he had a plan for Samson, a plan that Samson actually played out, not even realizing it, and dealing with his own fleshly lusts and desires, God still was able to use this man to be a deliverer for his people over the Philistines. Even his mother was given the charge, "This child shall be a Nazarite," someone that is separate and different, or let me say it this way, someone that would be separated from the world and someone that is consecrated to the Lord. That's what Samson was to be. But the charge was so strong that even his mother was charged to be a partaker of some of those things also. She was not to drink strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. God had a plan for him. He has a plan for you and me too. And after we talk about old Samson for a little bit, I want to bring this examination right on down to you and I this morning. Samson, we know the things that he did. He married a Philistine, he visited a prostitute in Gaza, and he finally turned to Delilah, who was a woman of the, of his enemies, the Philistines. He didn't live his life the way it sounds like he should have lived his life. A man that had been consecrated to God. He should have served as an example to Israel of his commitment to the Lord. He should have served that way. He should have shown them by example that of his commitment to God and his willingness and faithfulness to do the will of God. But Samson was born in this old flesh, and he had some issues that he really didn't realize what he was dealing with. Samson's issues, his life, let me say it this way, was a lesson in self-indulgence. Can I say it that way? Self-indulgence and a very great lack of discipline. That's what Samson was. And yet here God had a plan for him, even sent an angel down to talk to mom and dad. Eventually there in the story there, the angel came back and talked to the father also, talked to the mom and dad, told them the plan that God had for him. This man, your son is going to judge Israel, and he's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be dedicated to God. His life is going to be given to him. What he does, God is going to use to glorify and honor his name and to defeat the enemies that you are facing. He should have served God as an example to Israel, but he didn't. Because he had some personal traits, if you will. He had some moral weaknesses. And folks, moral weakness can cause you and I a lot of trouble. It'll cause you and I a lot of headache. Moral weakness, moral is the ability to know the difference or to choose between what is right and what is wrong. That's how God gives you and I the morality and teaches us to know the right from the wrong. This man didn't, he had a moral weakness because of his self-indulgence. What I want, what I see is what I want. What I want to do, that's what I want to do. When he went down and got his first wife, he told his father he'd saw this woman down there, and his father pleaded with him, "Why can't you choose one among your own people? I want her. I want her." Well, God was in it. He didn't realize it. Mom and dad didn't realize it, but God was in it. Or let's put it this way, God used that to glorify and honor him. He used his man's weakness. his moral weaknesses, his self-indulgence, always about Samson. That's really what Samson was all about. It was all about him. It was all about what he wanted. What he wanted, what looked good to him, what pleased him. Isn't that the way a lot of people live today? What looks good to them, what pleases them. A lot of people live that way because it's natural to the flesh. But this man not only indulged himself in things that he should not have indulged himself in, it totally irresponsible to the calling that God had given him, put upon him. Totally irresponsible to the calling that God put upon him to use him to be a judge over God's people. It's amazing to me, it always has been, how God can use an individual and how God, let's say how God has used individuals that really didn't do right, that really had some moral issues and moral weaknesses, and yet God was able to use them to glorify his name. God is amazing to me today. He is an amazing God, and he did that with Samson. Samson. Even though he had these weaknesses, this sovereign God was able to use them to glorify him. Now, something I want to point out here is the word vanity. Vanity. You know, we can deal with vanity, or we can have vanity and not know it. And not even realize it. Vanity is one of those traits. It's a part of pride. And it's one of those traits or actions where little or no actual thought by me is given to it. But the enemy will use it, if I have it, to cause me to struggle and bring disappointments to me. He'll use vanity or pride or self-indulgence, as I started out. He'll use these things against me to destroy me. I don't know how much thought Samson put into the things that he wanted. It seemed to me like he just played around. It seemed like he was just wanting to have a lot of fun and enjoy himself. That's what it seems like to me. I see this one over there, and I see this thing, and I like her, and I want her, and so go get her for me. That's the way they did it back in those days. He was a man of no restraint. He was a man of very little morals. Good morals, I'll say it that way. And it was the cause of his instability to control his passions. He was a vain man. He really was. He might have been ordained as a Nazarite unto God, but folks, what he acted out in his life was nothing to what he was ordained to. He was a very vain, a very proud man. He always felt like if I see something over there and I want it, that I ought to have it. And he wasn't satisfied and he wasn't happy until he got it. Amen. Vanity is a way of behaving yourself. The way you behave. The way you act out. Folks, the way you act out with your fellow man. The way you act out in things in your life, the way you come across in your communications and your actions and how that you conduct yourselves before other people, you can be vain in those things. It's a behavior. And many times, folks, these are the very things. What I'm talking about this morning is not really easy, because these are the very things that we have to deal with, the underlying circumstances in our own personal struggles. Our personal struggles in life, and we don't realize what it is we're fighting against, but we know we're struggling with something. We know things aren't going just the way that we'd like for them to go, and we're struggling with something. Folks, I believe this morning that the Lord wants us to turn the searchlight inward. And ask the Lord, If you see anything in me, it's just like the writer said, if there be in me any wicked way, Lord, reveal it to me. I'm trying to go to heaven. I want to make heaven my home. And Lord, I live in this old flesh, and I am so weak, and I am so feeble, and I am so frail. And if I have a moral weakness, Lord, I want you to point that out to me. I want you to show me what my need is, that I can be stronger in the Lord. Folks, God loves each and every one of us. We heard that this morning. And he talked about being a child of God. But let me tell you this morning, folks, God calls us, He saves us, and we become a child of God. But the Lord is not wanting us to stay in a child state. He's wanting us to mature. He's wanting us to grow. He's wanting us to develop. He told the disciples, He had called them to be the disciples, but He told them down the road somewhere, I've got many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Lord, help us today. If there's something that He wants to say to us, let's let Him say it to us. And let's say, Lord, help me to get as low as I need to go. Give me the grace that I need. Lord, if there's anything about me that's ugly, anything about me that's holding me back, that I'm struggling with. Folks, these kind of things is what Samson was struggling with. And he didn't know it. He didn't understand it. It was all about Samson. All about what he wanted in his life. He wouldn't listen to mom and dad. He wouldn't listen to anybody else. Got him in trouble, didn't it? Down the road, it got him in trouble. Even the Lord said, until the day of his death. And the Lord had a way of knowing that. Vanity. People having too much pride in themselves. All lifted up in themselves. Conceit. You ever had to deal with someone that's conceited? They think they're the greatest. They're conceited. I do everything right. I say everything right. I handle my life right. And yet those very people have a moral weakness. As I said earlier, they don't give any concentrated thought about it. They don't really examine it to see if what it is that's bringing this about. But folks, it still is the very thing that the enemy wants to use to cause you and I trouble in our walk with the Lord. I see that very plainly this morning. The enemy wants to use it to cause you and I to struggle. Are you struggling this morning? Are you struggling with things? The Lord doesn't want us to struggle. He wants to bring you and I to a maturity. The Lord said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I believe that He wants you and I to come to a maturity that Christ came to. God so loved the world. Yes, He did. And the manner of love that He loved us, folks, the manner was purity, holiness, godliness, and it was all given to you and I through His Son, Jesus Christ. Cleanliness. It all came through Jesus, didn't it? A Nazarite. You know, you and I, really, that's what we are to be before the Lord as Nazarites. Separated from the world and consecrated to God. But here was a man that had moral weaknesses. I don't know if he ever sat back and reflected on his own life, on his own actions, on his own attitudes. I don't know if he ever sat back and reflected on that. But folks, I think it would do us good to reflect on what's causing our struggles and our battles. There's people out there that have an inflated pride in themselves. And we have scripture that even talks about that, don't we? Samson's moral weaknesses, the inability to choose right, always choosing wrong. And yet it got him down to a place where he ended up with Delilah down to towards the end of his life. And his woman, he loved her, Oh, the enemy attaches love to those kind of things. His affections went out to those things. And he loved her, and he wanted her more than anything. And he played around with her when the Philistines came to her and said they wanted her to trap him so they could come in and take him. And he knew that. He even knew that. Here was a man that trifled with God, folks. Here was a man, he knew the Philistines were his enemy. He knew those kind of things. But I want this self-indulgence, self-desire, the inability to be obedient to what God wanted him to do with his life. He had no discipline at all. I don't see any discipline in Samson's life. Lord, help us. Personal responsibility. Each one of us have that before the Lord today. I'm not responsible for you in the sense of your salvation, folks. I may be responsible to you as a minister. I may be responsible to you to preach the word. I may be responsible to you to help carry your burdens. I may be responsible to you to pray for you. Those kind of things. But folks, when it comes down to our personal salvation, it's personal. And it's a personal reliability that you have between you and God. The devil's taken advantage of many people today. You look around, you see it. You see it. We're not blind to that. He's taken advantage of many people today. And a lot of them, it's because of their inability to make choice, good choice between right and wrong. People are struggling in their lives today. People are dealing with all kinds of hard and difficult things in their lives today because of poor choices that they made in the past. Well, we can't go back and change the past. I understand that. But may the Lord help us, folks, to see ourselves, to see where we are, to see what our need is, that we don't continue to make those kind of poor choices because we want to be faithful to God. We want to be faithful to our souls. We're desperate to make heaven, aren't we? We want to go to heaven, every one of us. But you're responsible for that. And you can't keep me out of there, and I can't keep you out of there. We give an account of our own actions. We give an account of our own lives. If I'm struggling with something, it wouldn't be right for me to come along and blame some other brother or blame some other sister or blame husband or wife. It wouldn't be responsible of me to do that. I need to turn a searchlight inward and say, what is my problem? What is my weakness here? Why am I struggling with these things? People are struggling with all aspects of life today. They don't understand why. Because of their inability to control their passions. The inability to control their desires. Having said those things about Samson, kind of laying a little foundation here, I'd like to move on over here now to the New Testament. I'd like to turn to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians 6 and 1. May the Lord help us here, folks. I'm not up here trying to berate anybody. I'm not up here trying to discourage anyone. I'm up here today in the fear of God, endeavoring to bring what the Lord has put on my heart. And I want to tell you personally, it's caused me to do a little trembling. It's caused me to have a little more fear upon my heart. Because Lord knows us. He understands each and every one of us. He knows right where we are. How do you like? You know, we're all pretty kind of personal creatures. You don't want me knowing everything going on in your home, do you? You don't want me going on, knowing everything going on in your life. Not that it's bad, not anything, but we're personal. You know, it's my personal life. Let me tell you, folks, every one of us today are living under the scrutiny of God's eyes. We're living under the scrutiny of God's eyes. You don't have anything personal from God. You don't have anything that you can hide from God. You don't have anything, folks, that you can separate and say, Lord, this is mine and you can't touch this, because God owns it all. And He sees it all. So every day, we're scrutinized. And how are we scrutinized? The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we're here, isn't it? That's why we're up here today, endeavoring to bring this out. Oh, folks, I've asked the Lord, Lord, You're going to have to say these things. If You want me to go down this path, Lord, I need You to say these things. I love those folks. I care about those folks. I care about their souls. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, seeking to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. Folks, the joints and the marrow kind of like the same thing, only they have different responsibilities. They have different duties. And the Lord looks down right to the very inward part of man. As Paul there is talking about the flesh, folks, God looks down to the spirit of man. He looks down to the makeup of man, the personality of man. He looks at what making you and I tick. Something makes us tick, you know. He looks down upon those things. God cares. The Word of God never leaves us where it finds us. It leaves us different, doesn't it? It leaves us more responsible. Personal responsibility. And folks, I don't know of any other group of people in this world that you could preach a message like this to, except the saints that are wanting to do all they can to live close to the Lord and make heaven their home. That's what I want. I was thinking before I left the house, I said, Lord, it sure would be nice if I could go to services today and just sit and listen to the Word of God. Lord, I'd really like that. If I could just sit and listen and let somebody else get up and be foolish through the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says. But it isn't to be so today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. So let's look at this verse of Scripture, some Scripture here. Galatians, the 6th chapter. I hope that's what I said. Brethren, it's talking to you and I. Now don't forget the foundation that we've endeavored to lay here this morning. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a contrast here. If you look at this verse, there's a contrast here of someone who is walking in the Spirit and someone who isn't walking in the Spirit. If I could back up just a little bit into the fifth chapter in verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Samson was never able to do that. He was never able to crucify his flesh. His self-indulgence and his passions and his disobedience and all that he did to God, folks, he was never able to conquer that. Lord, help you and I today that we'll be able to conquer that. How are we going to conquer it? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. How am I going to conquer this old man walking in the Spirit? He said He would send a Spirit of truth that will lead you and will guide you into all truth. Folks, God's Spirit will be honest with you. He won't show you something that's not there. He won't try to get you to do something that you shouldn't do. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So may the Lord help us today to walk in the Spirit. If a man be overtaken in a fault, and folks, and we are human, and we must realize and understand those things can happen to us. O soul, be on thy guard. Those things can happen to you and I, but we have a personal responsibility here. If he's overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, not just anybody, the one that's walking in the Spirit, restore such a one. We don't want to lose anyone. We don't want to lose anyone. God doesn't want to lose anyone. We don't want to lose anyone. Restore such a one, he said, in the spirit of gentleness. Can I say it that way? Meekness, gentleness. In the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest thou also be tempted. Those of us that God calls and burdens to help restore someone else must always keep constant watch over our own lives. If we're going to try to help someone else, we're going to have a personal responsibility to our own lives. Where I am, how I'm walking before the Lord. And we must always consider, folks, that these things can also bring us down if we're not careful. Oh, have you ever heard say, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming. It's because we don't always understand ourselves. It's because we don't always understand why we're dealing or how we're dealing with something. I didn't see it coming. I didn't realize things were that bad. I didn't realize I had drifted so far. I didn't realize I had gotten so careless. I didn't realize that my moral weaknesses were getting the best of me. I didn't even realize I had moral weaknesses. Folks, let me give you an idea about moral faults. A brother be overtaken in a fault. We can have moral weaknesses in our emotions. Our emotions can get us down, and they can cause us to make choices that we shouldn't make. If we follow our emotions or passions like Samson did, our personal life, our personal struggles. Folks, those things are important in how that you deal with yourself, how you deal with God, how you deal with the enemy, how you deal with your loved ones and your fellow man, our personal responsibilities. We must be upright and moral. Political choices. Even down to the politicals. Well, I'm not going to get political here this morning, but folks, when it comes to politics and we see what's happening in our country and our world today, we need to understand and realize if I'm going to make a choice here or if I'm going to make a choice over there, I've got to make those choices with good moral understanding and make the right choice of what I ought to do. People struggling in this world. You know why? One reason why? Because families, homes have been destroyed. Young children growing up without fathers. Young children growing up without direction in their life. Folks, people are not making good moral choices today. They're just not doing it. They're just going around doing their thing. Living the way they want to live. Don't understand God's ways at all. Oh, I tell you, my heart breaks sometimes when I talk to some folks and to hear how they say things. They don't understand God's ways at all. They don't understand what His Word says at all. That's a shame. In a country such as this, that the Word of God has been going forth for years and years and years and years, and people don't even have a clue what God is requiring of their lives. Don't have a clue. Financial responsibility. Folks, we must have good morals when it comes to our finances. We must keep our finances in order. We must not let them get us down. We must not let them destroy us. We must not let them get out of hand. Folks, finances can really get out of hand if we have the same kind of self-indulgences that Samson did. I see it, I want it, I gotta have it. I remember when wife and I got married and we moved back to Dayton. We got married in Columbus. Moved back to Dayton. I thought I had a job waiting on me at NCR, but it fell through. And we lived practically in poverty for a long time. We lived from hand to mouth. You know what we ate? You know what our staple was? Scrambled egg sandwiches and tomato soup. That's what we had about every day for a long, long time until the Lord gave me a job. My wife is a nurse and she finally went back to work. You've got to be willing to say, hey, you know, I don't have to have it. I'd like to have it, but I don't have to have it. You've got to be willing and able to tell yourself no. Even when it comes to finances, or if it comes to anything else that's pretentious, anything else that is self-indulgence in your life, you gotta be able to tell it no. Maybe someday down the road I can do this, but right now I can't. This is where the Lord has me. This is what the Lord wants me to do, and I need to learn to be satisfied with what the Lord, as Paul said, I'm learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Lord, help us today. I'm just trying to bring out what the Lord has given me. Then in the second verse, he went on to say, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, folks, is Christianity itself. That's the law of Christ, Christianity. Lord, help us. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, if Samson had been more concerned, now you check me on this. If he'd have been more concerned with the needs of his people, his focus might not have been so much on himself and everything he wanted. If he was concerned for someone else, for the needs of his people, maybe his focus wouldn't have been so much on Samson. Lord, help us. Bear one another's burdens, it says. That's the moral issues that you have. And then he went on to say in verse 3, if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing. You see what vanity does? He deceiveth himself. You're deceived. You think you're something, you think you're great. There's a lot of those kind of people in our world today. Especially people with money think they're something. Why, we have gone so far in our society, and it's been that way for a time, I understand, that because some 7'2" fella can stuff a ball in a 10-foot-high basket, and people think that's great. People think that's an awesome thing. They think it's so awesome that they will pay him $10-15 million a year to do it. You see how out of control things are? Really, our society is as much out of control as Samson was. And he was out of control, folks. He wasn't able to rule over his own spirit. And that's where we are today. People ain't able to rule over their own spirit. Ain't able to control their indulgences and their desires. If a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. When he thinks, now here's what Paul is telling us because he talks about morals here. When you begin to think that you are morally above reproach, you will have little sympathy for the flaws of others. You think about that. When you think you are so high and mighty and morally above reproach, you will have little sympathy for someone else. If you think yourself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Then he went on to say, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Prove here means examine. Personal responsibility. Personal reliability to God. Let every man prove or examine his own life to see if it measures up to God's standards by God's help. It's the only way we can do it, isn't it? To measure up to God's standards by God's help. Let every man, that's you, me, every one of us, prove your own selves. You don't sit there and try, well, I'm trying to be as good as brother so-and-so or sister so. Prove your own selves. Lord, look at me. Tell me what it is that, why I'm struggling the way that I'm struggling. Tell me why I make the choices that I'm making. Tell me why I find myself discouraged and upset and those kind of things from time to time. Lord, help me. Because I believe he has a mountaintop experience for every one of us. I believe he does. Now, we're not going to get there overnight. But I believe he has it for us. And this is one of the things that I need to do is examine myself that I can get that mountaintop experience and get a hold of it and hold on to it. Then he went on to say, every man shall bear his own burdens. In verse 2, he said, bear one another's burdens. He's talking about the moral weaknesses of others. If you see your brother struggling, your sister struggling, folks, the Lord makes you and I responsible to try to help them and encourage them and lift them up. Go to them and say, brother, sister, I'm praying for you. I want you to know what a blessing that you are to me. I want you to know what an encouragement you are to me. Don't let the enemy beat you down. Don't let the enemy try to destroy you and get you all discouraged and down. I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. That's bearing one another's burdens. Verse 2 speaks of moral weaknesses. Verse 1 does too. The faults. But verse 5 says, every man bear his own burden. This is where the personal responsibility comes in. Bear your own burdens. Personal responsibility to be borne by you. Folks, there's things that we might be able to help one another with. But there are some things that you're going to have to get for yourself. The Lord can do a lot of things, and I've said this here many times. The Lord can do a lot of things for you in your walk with Him. But there are some things that He wants to do in our lives that He is going to bring us to a place where we see the need. And then we can humble ourselves and take it before the Lord and ask the Lord for help in those areas. Sometimes he wants us to see what our need is. That's how we grow. That's how we get mature, become mature. He wants us to see what our needs are. You know, I can look at myself and say, oh my, I see that. Am I embarrassed? Folks, I'm not embarrassed. No matter what you may think of me, when the Lord shows me I have a need, I have a need, and I'm going to do whatever it is to take care of that need and get it satisfied that I can have personal reliability between me and God. Personal responsibility. You've also heard me tell the story at Monarch a few years back. Someone, I believe it was Brother Bob Wilson, preached a message in a morning service. And there's something that I had been seeking the Lord for spiritually. You know how we have spiritual requests? And there's something that I was had been seeking the Lord for spiritually. And the Lord said, this is the time to put in for it right now. And when that brother sat down and they began to sing right there at Monarch, Brother Larry went down to that altar and two ministers come over and prayed with me. And the Lord blessed me. And in the evening service, I walk under the tabernacle and a sister from somewhere says, Brother Abbott, I can't believe you of all people would go down to the altar. I said, what? You know, it kind of reminds me of my oldest brother when he was going in for the last operation and the last time he ever talked in his life. I went to the hospital. I believe you folks was there at 6 o'clock or 5:30 in the morning. And I said, Donald, before you go under the knife, ask the Lord to have mercy on your soul. He said, in a hospital. I looked at him and I thought, you had the same parents I did. You were taught the same things I was taught. And you look at me and say, in a hospital, I said, Donald, if you're in a bar and God's dealing with your soul, call on Him. What's the matter with people today? Where do they get their ideas? Where do they think that a preacher shouldn't go to the altar? Folks, I have needs too. I have shortcomings in my life. I have weaknesses that I want to get victory over. And when the Lord shows me, I'm going to go get it. Don't be afraid of it, folks. That's visiting with Jesus. Visiting with Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us today. I love this way. It's close. I realize that. It's a close way, but it'll get you to heaven if you follow it. Every man shall bear his own burdens. I have a verse in Scripture here that I want to put in. It's found in Titus, the second chapter. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound. The Lord wants us to be sound, folks. When you go to a bank to go, a new bank somewhere, and you want to put your money in it, you kind of like to know a little bit about it. You're not fixing to fold up tomorrow, are you? You got a lot of assets. You're doing business the way you ought to do it. Everything above board. You want to know a little bit about, you want to know that it's sound. That it's solid. He said, the things which become sound doctrine. He went on down in verse 8 and said, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Soundness. Sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It's doctrine that's proper for a Christian. It's proper for you and I. It's sound. It's solid. It will stand the test. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Sound doctrine. Soundness. We want to live our lives that's suitable to soundness. Being solid for the Lord. I want to close with this one over here. The help of the Lord. First Corinthians. The 11th chapter. And the 26th verse. I know. We use some of these scriptures on. At the Lord's Supper, the ordinance service, I want to use these this morning by the help of the Lord. 11 and verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You proclaim the Lord's death till he come, as often as you do this. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That word damnation could be inserted judgment. Eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Paul here is teaching a carefulness, a deep-rooted, deep-seated honesty in my soul, in my heart, when I come to the place to partake of the Lord's Supper. I believe that I come to the place where I have been faithful and honest before the Lord to deal with everything that He's dealt with me with. That I've gotten to the place of victory, the place of being able to overcome, to be sound in the faith. Folks, he said here, this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sometimes I have been involved in ordinance services, and there's certain been individuals that I kind of cringe at for the sake of their souls. But I'm not their judge. It says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It isn't my call what someone else does. But I tell you this, Paul gives us a caution here, doesn't he? At that time, and we're talking about maybe doing this soon, are weak and sickly, and many sleep. Do you know, I wonder, this is just my thinking now, because I've wondered it many times, is that why there's so many that have a lack of vision? Is that why there's so much shallowness? Is that why there's so little understanding or respect of the things of God? Is that why the old paths don't seem to be as important as they used to? Is that why that I have my own ideas now and my own thoughts on those things? Even though the scriptures, the word brings it out, this is very plainly what it is not. I say, Lord, help me this morning. Lord, help us. I'm interested in going to heaven. And I'm interested in us going together. Every one of us. What you do with your salvation is your personal responsibility. People don't seem like to take responsibility anymore. But Lord, help us to take the responsibility. Say, Lord, I haven't gone this far just to be playing games. I want to go all the way. And Lord, if there's anything, maybe I haven't even mentioned it this morning, brought it out. But if there's anything that I need to do, you help me to walk in a way that would be pleasing to you. You help me to walk, Lord, in a way that will glorify you. You're scrutinizing everything that I do. He's looking at everything I do. All things, the scripture says, are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. He's the determinate counsel of each and every one of our hearts. He's the one that said he would give us his spirit to lead us and guide us into the truth. And I know he'll be faithful to do that. So may the Lord help us today. Maybe it's a little examination time. It is for me. Say, Lord, you know, am I missing something? You know, I was thinking also in this that people, when you're working, when you have a job, every once in a while, you may get called into the office and say, we're going to give you an evaluation. We're going to evaluate your work. We're going to evaluate your attitude. We're going to tell you what we think of you. And sometimes maybe you don't want to hear those things if you haven't been what you should have been. But you know it doesn't have to be that way, does it? When God comes along to evaluate us, if we've been faithful and we've been honest and we've been humble and pliable in His before Him, we can get a good evaluation. I want a good evaluation. Personal reliability. Personal responsibility. It falls to each and every one of us, doesn't it? You know, I had no idea. Folks, I'll just be honest with you. I was raised in the Church of God. But I had no idea when I got saved all those years ago that it would come down to, Lord, you're bringing this awful close. Lord, it's getting pretty tight. Got me in a vice and got it squeezed down to where I can't squirm out of it. And He does with me what He wants to do. And all I can say is, Lord, whatever Your will is, whatever Your purpose is, help me make heaven my home. You pray for me that I'll be faithful. God bless each one of you.